We are checking in with Dori Gold is back with us from Israel today. And he's the former ambassador to the United Nations for Israel, and he's the president of the Jerusalem Center for Public Affairs. Did you notice the State Department, by the way, wouldn't come out definitively and say that Israel has the right to declare Jerusalem the capital?
Well, this is an ongoing struggle. You know, we say it's the capital. We know, all Israelis know, that only under Israel is freedom of access and freedom of worship guaranteed. When Jerusalem was divided, the discrimination against Christians, Jews couldn't even get to their holy sites. We're not ready to go back to that period of time. We will protect Jerusalem for all the great faiths.
What are we to make of these reports? It seems to me, just as an observer and somebody that is concerned about the security and safety of Israel, Dori, that the time, the clock is running out here. In as much as, you know, it's obvious that the Iranians have thumbed their nose at world opinion. They continue to enrich uranium. They seem to have the ability to launch rockets that would go a great distance. So it seems like we're coming to a collision course here, and a decision has got to be made at some point in the near future.
Well, Sean, you're 100% right. And the best source to just share with you your assessment and to basically back it up is Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta. He appeared on 60 Minutes in December of 2011. And he was asked by the interviewer, how much time do we have till Iran gets an atomic bomb? You know what he said? He said 1 year. So that's 1 year from December 2011. That means December 2012. He added one important caveat. Unless they have secret enrichment facilities we don't know about, then it could be less. So let's take the minimal amount of time, December 2012. So how many months do we have? How can we have negotiations where you say, okay, let's meet May 23rd in Baghdad. Then they'll kick it into July. I mean, you can't have negotiations when the clock is running out like this.
You know, I've got to say, it's a very difficult position that the United States has put Israel in my opinion. And three instances I'll quickly give you. One is when we did something we told Israel we'd never do. And as the prime minister was coming over to the United States, we found out that the president said that Israel should begin negotiations starting at 67 borders, which is something we said we'd never ask Israel to do. They need defensible borders. The second thing was we heard the off-mic comment of Nicolas Sarkozy attacking the prime minister, and then the president jumped in and said, oh, I got to deal with them every week. And then the third time is snubbing the prime minister in the White House. So I'm not really sure. While the president may proclaim that we've never been closer, it seems like we've never been this far apart, our closest ally in the Middle East.
Well, I can tell you on the substance of some of the issues you've raised. On the issue of the 1967 lines, which Prime Minister Netanyahu says are not defensible, you go through virtually every American president, Lyndon Johnson, who under him, the UN Security Council Resolution 242 was drafted, which didn't require Israel to go to those pre-war lines. You go to people like Ronald Reagan, who was the first American president to introduce defensible borders. You go to, I worked with Warren Christopher, who gave us a letter on defensible borders. That was under President Clinton. You go to President George W. Bush, who gave Ariel Sharon a letter that was supported by bipartisan majorities of both houses of Congress on April 14, 2004. That letter said Israel's not going back to the pre-war lines. Israel has a right to defensible borders. It will also retain those settlement blocks. So there's been a consensus of all administrations that 67 is out, and that's why I think many of us were very disappointed when President Obama used the 1967 language, although he tried to introduce a caveat saying we'll have land swaps. That's insignificant. We need defensible borders, as you pointed out.
Well, where do you think this goes from here when you have a maniacal dictator that wants a Holocaust in our lifetime and continually declares that he wants to wipe Israel off the map and then pursues with a vengeance nuclear weaponry? You know, it seems to me that this is a real clear and present danger. What options are on the table but to take out these sites?
You know, I'm not going to go into what Israel might militarily do or won't militarily do, but, you know, we reserve the right to defend ourselves. You're 100% correct. We have got.
And that should mean preemptively. Doesn't that mean that if they keep saying that they want to destroy your country and kill everybody in your country, that if you think they're getting close to developing the weapons, that might allow them to do such a horrible thing, you would be able to stop them.
You know, there was a whole big debate in the United States. Some academics and a few members of Congress said, well, Ahmadinejad was mistranslated. He never said wipe Israel off the map.
Said it repeatedly.
Well, guess what? Guess what? The Revolutionary Guards a year earlier had a military parade in Tehran, and they wrote in Persian that Israel has to be wiped off the map, and they even translated it into English for all the foreigners who were at the military parade. So that's not a mistranslation. That's the translation that Iran has supplied. And when you take that intention of wiping Israel off the map, of destroying Israel, and you juxtapose it, you put it right on an Iranian missile carrier carrying a Shahab-3 missile that can hit Israel, you know, they're saying it quite plainly. And it's not just Ahmadinejad. It's the supreme leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. It's the top generals of the Revolutionary Guards. It's the religious advisors of Ayatollah Ali Khamenei and the religious advisor of Ahmadinejad. They're all saying destroy Israel. One of them even said we want a big Holocaust to replace Israel.
Well, they did,
so
and by the way, they did.
Israelis got to think twice.
And Ahmadinejad himself is a Holocaust denier. I mean,
well, they also throw that in for dessert. I mean, that they deny the Holocaust. But the fundamental fact is they declare their hostile intentions against the state of Israel, and they place those hostile intentions on their missiles, which we know can strike Israel. The Shahab-3 that I mentioned has been operational in the Iranian armed forces since 2003. It was first tested in 1998. So we have to take it seriously. Look, we hope the pressure of the great powers will lead to Iran withdrawing from this posture at the last minute. We all hope that. But we also have to have the capacity to defend ourselves, and our right to defend ourselves must be recognized. When you have leaks in the papers that look like they're trying to tie our hands by all kinds of anonymous officials, and when you have...
Are you talking about U.S. officials that actually tried to leak the date that you were planning on doing this and different arrangements that were made for in terms of flyover rights?
Can you imagine in 1940... the Roosevelt administration putting out material on Winston Churchill's possible military plans. It wouldn't happen. It's unthinkable. Well, the president himself, to his credit, President Obama, did say on March 5th, there's too much loose talk about war. Hopefully he sent out a memo to all his officials, and hopefully the memo is read. But, you know, 2 weeks later in the New York Times, you have a classified war game, a classified war simulation. And when you read the sourcing of the New York Times, it says according to American officials. So somebody is talking too much. You know what they used to say in the U.S. Navy in World War II? Loose lips sink ships. So let's remember what was said then, and let's apply it today.
All right, Dory Gold, thank you for being with us. Former ambassador to the U.N. for Israel, president of the Jerusalem Center for Public Affairs.